It is interesting time. So that leads beautifully well set up there. You've teed this one up, Mr. McLennan. I'm going to whack it down the fairway. Ray, a lot of people have the question, in this day and age, is it possible to get 100% funding for the project?
Welcome to the How to Raise Money podcast for anyone who wants to raise other people's money for a business or property venture. Right now, there has never been more money on the planet, and there has never been more opportunity. This podcast will help you put the two together. So, if you need money for your business or property proposals from banks, lenders, angels, whales, or dragons, this is the podcast for you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the How to Raise Money podcast. I am Ray McLennan.
And it's with me, Nigel T. Best. Raymondo, hello, hello, hello. And today's question, it's a goodie. It's a goodie. But before we get to it, Ray, how are you doing? Is it busy, or is it pina colada time?
It's up and down. I think the world is waking up and things are starting to happen again. More activity around. It's bizarre because lenders who used to do bridging facilities haven't been able to do much bridging facilities because of bounce back loans and Corona business interruption loans and all that kind of carry on has taken away a large chunk of their market. And they're sitting with money to deploy, but they can't deploy it as bridging because there doesn't seem to be as much of an appetite for bridging. So they are changing to look to deploy it for longer term. Not all of them, some of them. They want to deploy it for maybe 2 to 5 years as sort of shorter term loans on interest rates that they don't like, but that developers quite like. So that's an interesting development. And there are other conditions still sort of similar. They're doing 65, 70% loan to value. Sometimes they'll do loan to GDV, which is quite good. They're all slightly different, but we have over 200 lenders in the UK, and they all have slightly different requirements sometimes. So,
it is interesting time. So that leads beautifully well set up there. You've teed this one up, Mr. McLennan. I'm going to whack it down the fairway. Ray, a lot of people have the question, in this day and age, is it possible to get 100% funding for the project, for the business, for the property, for the project?
Well, the answer to just about everything is it depends. And the short answer is yes, it can be done. The other answer is no, it's not something that's done every day. But in certain circumstances, it can. And that's down to the funding stack. So the funding stack would be senior debt, mezz funding, and then you've got the bit left. So let's say somebody wants, let's take a round £1 million, let's say. Somebody says, well, I've got a project, needs £1 million. I don't have any money. It's all tied up in other things, which it usually is with developers. They're usually waiting on something. So the next, they want to get the next one teed up before they finish this one, because you don't want to have a gap. You need to have this constant sort of, like buses. You want developments to be lined up so that they arrive at the right time. And that's usually the circumstances where we're asked for 100% funding. So you have a circumstance where, let's say there's a development to be done and it requires £1 million. A senior lender can do 65, maybe 70%. And then, so you've then got the 30% you need to find from somewhere else. Well, that's where you can get involved with JV partners. So you can have a JV partner who is an investor who wants to put up the funds and get a coupon on the funds, and then perhaps do something like an earn and learn. So we've done a couple of these in the last few months. An earn and learn would be where an investor puts up the money to the developer, but the investor also wants to put on a hard hat, a fluorescent jacket, carry a clipboard and steel toe cap boots and walk around with the developer and see what's going on so they can learn for themselves.
Okay, so a couple of things there, Ray. You were talking about a coupon. By that, you mean an interest rate attached to it, which pays out an interest payment. So when people talk, sometimes terminology, people get, sort of think, well, crikey, is a coupon something special? Is it something different? It's basically the amount that you agree to pay in interest.
Correct.
And it really depends. Some people say, oh, does that have to be paid monthly? Does it get paid annually? You know, when does it get paid? And I guess the simple answer is however you agree it. Would that be fair?
Yeah, well, with property developments, there's usually no capacity to pay monthly interest because you're let's say, taking a derelict building or a brownfield site or a greenfield site, something like that. And there's nothing to show, really. You need to purchase the land. You need to do the groundworks. You need to then develop the building. And then once the building's developed and it gets a completion certificate, it can be refinanced. And that's when people get paid back or sold on. So you refinance it if you want to rent the property. You would sell it on if you want to raise the funds. So there's one we're looking at the moment. It's a land purchase of 1.5 million. It's a build of about 3.5. So you're in for five, but it has a GDV at the end of 7, which means it can be refinanced at the end. So and everyone can get paid back.
Yeah, any of these development type projects, as you say, brownfield or big conversions, there is a cash flow. Unfortunately, it's going the wrong way. Yeah, well, it's all flowing away from you. So an investor's not going to, well, he's not really going to be expecting a monthly interest payment because they can, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they want it. But essentially, they are lending the somebody money to then just take part of it straight back on a monthly basis, which is effectively you end up borrowing more than you need in order to meet the interest repayments, you know, as the project progresses. But so, Ray, it depends how you stack it up. So what you're saying is you go, first off, you can get a big chunk from a normal lender, a sort of a more of an institutional lender. It's the shortfall that you might have in order to get your 100% funding. What you're saying is think, folks, you know, is there someone you know who could do this? Is there someone who sees you, as Ray says, who's seen you doing these sort of things? Maybe you're talking on Facebook, maybe you're talking at events, you know, online events or whatever. And they're sort of curious. And this earn and learn, I've known several people do it, as in lend money, in order to see what goes on behind the scenes. So they've lent it, and the interest paid to them for lending it is lower because they've exchanged it for this learning element. Now, it's not sit down, don't panic. It's not sit down in a classroom and teach someone from 9 to 5 everything about it. It is, you know, you arrange, you do the site visit, you have a look in the office, you see what's going on. You kind of get the feel as to the flow of how the project's organized, the dovetailing of the trades or the groundworks come before you put the roof on, and you know, the most obvious of things. But yeah, it can be very, very interesting. And some people would potentially pay, I don't know, 20,000-30,000 to be mentored to get access to these sort of things. So there is a ticket value to this. And it isn't particularly onerous, because you're effectively doing your normal job if you're on the project or involved in the project, and they're just looking over your shoulder. So, you know, I think that's a great option, Ray. And a lot of people are curious about this, not necessarily because they suddenly see themselves as a massive development project manager or something like that, but they're curious to see. I'm always one that, I love to understand how things work, because I find it conceptually quite difficult, quite challenging if someone just tells me it. I see it all in pictures. And if I can't picture it because it's something completely a mystery to me, I find it hard to understand actually what goes on. But if then when you go and somebody walks you through it and you see it, you go, gotcha. And many years ago, I couldn't understand how plasterers, it would be the early 2000s, plasterers were just, do you remember Bish Bash Bosh Loads of Money? he was a plasterer because you know, they just made money hand over fist because nobody could get hold of one. And I thought, you know, how the hell do they do this? So I thought, I don't understand the process. I don't understand how they can charge. You know, I was getting quoted $5,000 for a two up, two down house to put some plaster on. And I was thinking, this is 15, 20 years ago. And I was thinking, what? So I went away and learned. And when you see behind the scenes how it's done, you go, no way. Now, I wouldn't want to be a plasterer, but I have plastered on my own a two-bed flat. So, you know, it can be done, folks. But when you understand it, when you understand something like that, it is much harder for someone to pull a fast one on you because you know when something doesn't stack up. So have a think about that, folks. Have a think about that. It's a great comment there from Ray about JVing with someone and maybe exchanging a bit of interest for how about you look over my shoulder and learn on this project. You know, that's a great way to do it. Any other ways, Ray, to get us up to that 100%?
Well, it's 100%. You're using other people's money. That's what you are going to use. A lot of the people that do JVs like that could be SAS funds. It could be somebody that has a small self-administered scheme, a small pension. And if you're doing... they can lend money to developers. They can also put money into a company. When you put money into the company, you need to let the other lenders know that you're investing in the business. You're a joint venture partner in it. If you are lending the money to the company and it's just simply a loan and you're not getting anything else for it, then you want to declare that. You want to make them aware, because if it's something that's too, that's why I say it depends, 100% depends, because there are some lenders that don't mind that. There are some lenders that see a JV partner coming in and putting their money in, and if it stacks up, they'll look at the financial appraisal, and if there's a decent exit at the end, then they're fine with that. But there are others that don't like that. They want the money to belong to the developers. Well, a JV partner can be a developer if he's director of the company. They can be a developer. So that's why I say it depends, because each one is taken on its merits. And we've seen some that have got funding relatively easily, and others where it should have been easy, but it just didn't happen. So it's all down to individual circumstances. But one of the things I get from a lot of JV investors is it's not so much the money and the earn and learn, it's that they can drive past the building and point at it, you know, in a car with their friends or family and say, I helped to build that. And there's a great sense of satisfaction there. So that's another reason for doing it, because, you know, investors who've got money sitting in the bank, they're investing in all sorts of things. And to get a return, they'll have stocks and shares and bonds, and they'll buy a bit of, you know, gold and a bit of Bitcoin and a bit of something else. And they might buy some income generating property. So, you know, they may have a spread. And then this is just another addition to that.
Yeah. And don't underestimate the feel good factor that you mentioned there, Ray, because especially when there's projects now for homes for key workers that I know that you're involved in and behind the scenes there, trying to build that up. Other people, social housing, other people generating housing for armed forces, veterans or charities. You know, there is a definite feel good. And if people feel that they're getting a return on their money, but it's that feel good, as you say. You know, people do love to point at a bridge and say, I was the civil engineer that, you know, helped build it or whatever, you know, those sort of things. Yeah, very, very important to not dismiss it. Here's one for you, Ray.
Well, actually, sorry, just on that point, just
yeah, go
you,
on.
Before I lose my train of thought, and I'll let you lose yours. The Homes for
gone.
Key Workers.
It's gone already. It's gone already. Yeah, I've got
the Homes for Key Workers one will have a few investors in. And one of the things we're doing there is getting the keystone of the building, or the, you know, the first stone that's put in, the foundation stones that are put in, we're going to get their names chiseled in there. So they'll be there forever. So and that, that a few people have made comments on that, that, you know, they're quite looking forward to that. So it'll be there forever. So there won't be that many investors. There's only going to be about half a dozen. So it's not as if the place is going to be like graffiti or anything covered in.
But Ray, that's another really important sort of feel good point, because if you're thinking, oh no, no one will pay for that. Hey, people put their names on the seats in stadiums, you know, don't they, for football clubs or whatever. People buy a brick or whatever for when they're building a stand or some sort of building. And, you know, people love to do that, that sort of thing. So, you know, that's really, I love that. I love that, having a stone. And it doesn't take much these days to do a little touch like that that makes the difference. But here's something else, Ray. I'm short of the money, you know, I can just about get to the 100%, but people are thinking, it's this old thing, do you have skin in the game? Is there anything I can pledge? You know, can I pledge my firstborn? Can I put the cat in there, you know, as a down payment? You know, what else could I do? I don't have the cash. What else could I do to get someone to say, yes, I'm happy to go to that 100% level?
Well, yes, if there are other assets that can be pledged, yes, they like to see skin in the game. Again, with developers, usually what they'll do is give an undertaking that, the you know, if they're on project A, B, and C, and they're needing project C funded, then when project A completes, then some of the money, the profit from that, will go into project C to, you know, to reduce the borrowing. So that can be an undertaking, and that's quite common. Other things are personal guarantees, but a personal guarantee has to be backed up with some form of assets. So there'll be an asset and liability statement done. And the assets, you know, should not really include the family home. If it does include the family home, it's a bit more complicated. There's, you know, permission to be given, and the partners of the house, the husband or the wife, have to have independent financial advice on that, so they know what they're doing. So there's all sorts of, you know, criteria that have to be fulfilled. But you can also get personal guarantee insurance. There is a company in the UK that will do that. That if you provide a personal guarantee, they will. You can pay them an insurance policy that, in the unlikely event that the personal guarantee is called upon, the insurance would have to step in and pay. So that can be arranged, but that's something that can be arranged with institutional lenders or banks. You can't really do that with a private individual. So if I was giving you a personal guarantee or you were giving me one, we couldn't get insurance to cover that.
Okay, but a personal guarantee could be something, and it could be if you have a business. So it could be an element, a covenant over the business assets as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there could be many ways that you could top that up or make someone happier to lend the smaller amount, the 30%. Of the 100%. So if you can give those backings, those undertakings behind it, then you're more likely to get to the 100% funding route, aren't you?
There was also one case where we had a developer who had a number of HMOs, houses of multiple occupation, and was getting cash flow from that. So part of that was pledged to pay down the loan on the development. So I can't remember the actual figures, but he was taking something like 16,000-17,000 a month. And I think 5,000 a month of that was going to reduce the borrowing on the development that he was doing. So that was pledged in. So it's just, you know, chipping away at it, keeping costs down, because you only pay interest on the money you've got as well. So, and you only pay interest on the money you draw down. So that worked quite well. We had another one where, again, this is going back a few years, where the borrower who was developing a property had some retail businesses and hospitality businesses. He had a few pubs and a restaurant, things like that he owned. And some of the loan was paid down by taking a piece of each credit card transaction. So again, they were turning over something like 30,000 a week, from what I remember. And a lot of that was in credit card transactions. So you can, you know, chip away into that as well. So instead of 30,000 going straight into the bank, maybe 25,000 would go into the bank, and then 5,000 would be diverted to the loan, something like that.
When you started talking about pubs and restaurants and stuff, and you said maybe a pizza, I thought you were going to say a pizza, they were going to get paid in pizza or takeaways or something like that. But yeah, it's cold hard cash. That's what they want.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few creative ways of doing it, and that's just some of the ones I can remember.
Yeah, and I think that's it, because sometimes I know some people, when they're talking about things, think of it very much in a binary black or white. You can, you can't, and they're the rules. Whereas there can be, yeah, many more ways to get this done. And you shouldn't forget that you're looking for 100%. So the question is, 100% funding of the deal or the business or whatever it might be. This 100% that you're trying to get is still only, hopefully, around 70% of the final value. So the end of the project, the whole idea of this is that the only reason anyone is going to lend up to this level is that the final project delivers something with a margin where you can repay easily. So it still comes down, folks, to the strength of the actual deal that you're proposing.
Always. Yeah. Oh, well, it depends on a number of things. It's, you know, we talk about credibility, the credibility of the developers. Have they got a decent track record? Have they done something like this before? All of that counts as well. You know, the return has to be decent. The exit has got to be fully stipulated that they know how it's going to happen. And then obviously the security. So there's all of that. And that's why people get different. It's the same, you know, with personal borrowing, where you've got different credit cards. You know, it's always seems strange that if you've got someone with a poor credit record, then they can get a credit card, an Ocean credit card, but it's at like 40%, something like that. And then the better you are at managing your money, the lower the interest rate. So, you know, some people have got interest cards that are 7%, things like that. And it's exactly the same with developments. If the company has a track record and they've done quite well, then they will, and have paid on time, et cetera, then they'll get loans that are where interest rates are much lower. I mean, I'm seeing some developers now getting loans of 2.8%, for example, and then another doing a similar development, getting a loan of 6%. And what's the difference between the two? One has a track record, one's done it before. The one paying higher interest is only on their second development. So, depends.
Yeah, and it also depends on how much money is, you know, sloshing around in the system, you know, because it the lenders, as we spoke about in a previous episode of the podcast, the lenders are thinking, oh my goodness, all this bounce back loan money, all this CBILS money that came in, this was their business. How did they get back in the game? Well, they've got to make their lending more attractive. And what does that mean? It means potentially a lower interest rate in order to get people to take them up on that borrowing. But it's funny, right? I had a conversation once, it was a number of years ago, and it was about, someone was saying how much they felt they needed to borrow. And they were going to be building, I think it was either something like a combination of 10 houses and 4 flats or something like that. And they'd been and they'd got quotes for how much every house cost to build. And they said, and the land, and the fees, and the interest. So that's how much I need to borrow. And I said, why on earth would you want to borrow the whole amount? And they said, explain. What do you mean? And I said, well, have you ever seen a development and you typically find that they bang up a house really fast, turn it into the sales showroom house, and then you find that when the next one appears, kind of both of those are sold, and the sales bit goes into a porter cabin, and then it goes back into a house, and then another house appears, and that one's sold, and you've got people on the drive, you know, parking cars on the driveway, the kids swings in the garden, and they're still building houses around them. I said, have you ever stopped and considered why? And they went, no, not really. I said, well, they borrow the money enough to get one in and then sell it to get the cash flow back in. And that way you need never borrow the full amount all in one go. And they went, oh, that's really clever. I said, well, it seems really clever when you don't understand what they're doing, but it's extremely logical way of doing it, isn't it? So, you know, you don't, sometimes people think they need to borrow an enormous amount of money for the entire, you know, from day one, I need that 2 million in the account. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, actually you don't, you need 50,000 to pay the excavators and the groundworks to do the first bit.
Yeah.
And then when that's done, you only need to do it. So actually when you look at your borrowings over the period, it's very much in chunks, and you're only paying interest, as you say, Ray, on the money that you borrow. So this is where the skill comes in making sure you only borrow what you actually need. Mm-hmm. And if you can, you get some chunks of cash back in as quickly as possible. So this is why you see those first few houses with the flagpoles, the green turf put down, the instant flowers. The flowers, the few bushes, the nice metal railings, and bang, it's sold and someone's in it. And you kind of think, God, they're living in a building site.
Well, the other thing is when people do a show house, you know, a lot of people want to buy the show house. They want all the furniture, they want everything, and they'll pay extra for it. You know, they're already paying extra for a new house, and then they'll pay extra for all the furniture that's in there. I mean, I remember going to see one once, and it was a 4-bedroom house. I mean, it was nice. It was done very well, you know, Charles Church or something like that. And they had all the flowers and the AstroTurf on the garden, and it was perfectly finished. And when you walked in, you know, they had all the, you know, all the, it obviously been a designer there. And my wife was looking at it, saying, this is great. And I said to them, do you sell these? She said, yes, we do. And I think it was something like an additional 35,000 or something on top of the purchase price, which of course they could, you know, you can add to the mortgage at all, this kind of carry on. Why would you want to? But I said, well, there's no doors. She said, oh, we will put the doors up. So it looked fantastic when all the doors were removed, you know, because you've sort of flowed through the house. But they said the doors were included.
Anyway. I love it. Some of those ones, a friend of mine, his dad was a builder, and he said, just walk around with a little tape measure in your pocket and just see on some of those show homes, because just measure the tables, measure the beds. And sure enough, it was a 5'6" long bed, and me at 6'4", that was never going to work.
Yeah.
It was about 4 foot wide as a double. And the dining room table was kind of, you'd have to overlap your plates if you wanted to sit opposite someone. It was incredible, incredible. But as you say, it looked amazing. And, you know, those sort of things, those instant houses, there's always a demand for it. So
lots of mirrors as well. I noticed they had a lot of mirrored furniture. You know, in the bedrooms, the bedside table was mirrored, mirrored legs and everything.
Yeah.
I have to say they do it well, and it appeals to some people. But in terms of, you know, we're getting off on a different track here. But
never.
I know. I think what a lot of people forget is when you buy a new house, it's like buying a new car. You know, as soon as you move into it, it's actually worth less than when you buy it, and it might take 5 years, or maybe even 10, to recover some of that money if you were looking to recover the money. Yeah, it's another reason why builders, developers like to do houses as opposed to apartments, because when you do a house, you can build it and sell it. But with an apartment block, you've got to have the whole block ready. You know, you can't sell off the ground floor while you're still working on the second and third floor, and so on. So there's all these things to look out for. But the question of today was how to raise money. Can you do 100% finance? Well, the answer is it depends, as always. The answer to almost every question is it depends, because it depends on personal circumstances. And what I would say is, if anybody's listening to this and they want to make an application, they can make an application. There'll be a link in the show notes to an application that you can make. And you never know. Some do, some don't. It just depends. It depends on personal circumstances, but also perseverance, because I've seen people some developers who've been turned down several times, carry on pushing on. Circumstances change, money changes, as in sometimes a lender that wants to do it doesn't have the money to do it. And then he gets the money to do it. And then he comes back to you and says, are you interested in doing this? You know, so
that's absolutely. And never forget, folks, lenders go in and out of sectors of the economy. They have an appetite for it, and then they decide they don't want any more on their books. So it just depends if you're going to a lender as they're on the interested sort of part of the cycle or less interested as well. But that's where you know, going through using the application. And don't forget, folks, have a look on the website htrmoney.co.uk. You can get in there and get the template to help you make the perfect sort of on paper pitch that you can use and craft your pitch, because that's really the whole thing comes down to an irresistible offer. If you've got an irresistible offer, the very nature of it is in the name, nobody can resist. And it that applies to lenders. So to make it an irresistible offer, you've got to have all those pieces behind it in place. And that's where that can help you. So go to hdrmoney.co.uk. Ray, it's good, very good. So there is hope if you want 100% finance on there, which is good. Have you got any? I'm looking at the podcast thing here. Any more reviews? Have you noticed any?
I think we need to ask for reviews. If people are listening to the podcast and they haven't left the review, then you know, leave one. Tell us what you think.
That's a jolly good idea.
Tell us what you think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had a couple of emails from people asking generic questions, which is fine. So, you know, that can happen. I would say the just to sort of square the circle for the 100% finance.
Shut the door on this sucker.
It's usually professional developers are doing it. If you're listening to this and you're wanting to get money to buy your own home and you're a private individual, then that is different. Then you're going to be looking to the bank of mum and dad, to friends and family, that sort of thing. Maybe perhaps look to the government scheme where they can guarantee, you know, some of your deposit if you're looking to get your own residential property. But this podcast is really aimed, or this episode, when we're talking about 100% funding, is aimed at professional property developers, people that are looking to convert buildings and they do it for a living rather than as a hobby. So just to make that clear.
Excellent. Thank you, Ray.
All right.
Are you going to sign us off?
Well, this has been the How to Raise Money podcast. I've been Ray McLennan.
I'm still Nigel T. Best. Excellent stuff. See you soon, folks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the How to Raise Money podcast. It's made for people who want to raise money as debt or investment equity for their business or property proposal or empire. The website has all the useful links and underlying research, and you can get downloads of the checklists and other useful information. See you next time, where we can show you how to raise money. There is abundance. There is money enough for everyone on the planet. The question is, who has yours?